Amen. Thank you for joining us. I'm Daryl Bailey, Servants for Christ. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. Thank you for tuning us in on this marvelous night of Passover, here the 14th of Nisan, 5784 of the Hebrew calendar, April the 22nd, 2024. Here, as we have a special message for our Passover day, take your Bibles with us over to Exodus chapter 12, verses 3 through 28. And we want to talk to you for a little while about the Passover of redemption. Passover, it's all about Yeshua. Amen. I'm glad that here tonight we reflect on the significance of Passover, a timeless testament of redemption and deliverance. Just as the Israelites were delivered from bondage in Egypt, we too are called to embrace the spiritual Passover offered through Christ. You know what? A lot of people say, is Passover something that Christians should celebrate? I know we just celebrated Easter, but the Jewish people have celebrated the Passover feast for hundreds of years to commemorate the night of the angel of death that passed over them during the 10th plague God inflicted upon the Egyptians. And on that night, the Jews were instructed to paint the blood of a lamb on their doorpost. As a result of the firstborn of their children and livestock that were spared, this would show God's great power that was brought about to the Israelites' freedom from slavery in Egypt. Now, God commanded his people to observe the Passover each year to remember the miracle of the night and to pass along the story of God's protection to their children. And that's what we're fixing to read about in the Passover of redemption. I'm glad that on down in verses 25, 26, and 27, that we'll be reading about this out of Exodus chapter 12, amen. And I'm glad that here, as we get into the wonderful Word of God and look back at God's provision, that it was a foreshadowing of the provision to come, God sending his perfect sacrificial lamb, Jesus, to atone for our sins and to save us from eternal death. Although there were many Jews that do not believe this atonement has taken place, Christians around the world acknowledge Jesus' death on the cross that allowed God's judgment to pass over us. It is for this reason tonight that we celebrate Passover by Jews and by Christians alike. And while Christians maybe not or so much participate or required to celebrate Passover, there are various reasons why many can choose to observe the Passover Seder, the ritual dinner, the meal that is in the Jewish heritage, given an understanding of how Jews worship God in the Bible and what God required of them, a picture of the Israelites' slavery in Egypt and God's deliverance. That Seder usually was led by a Haggadah of a script that determines the order of the meal, describes the various traditions associated with it. And so, as we get into it, let's open up with a word of prayer. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we gather in your presence, Lord, we come with hearts open to receive your word. May your Holy Spirit guide us, enlighten us, transform us, Father, through this time of worship and reflection. Lord, as we celebrate our Passover throughout the world and commemorate and remember what you did when the death angel passed over the doorpost of blood. And Father, what you did for us on the cross of Calvary. In Jesus' marvelous mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad that when we look and realize that each and every one of us here, as we realize that as we go forward, Passover, P.J. O'Rourke said, is my idea of a perfect holiday. He said, dear God, when you're handling out the plagues of darkness, locusts, hail, boars, flies, lice, frogs, and catamaran, and turning the gnaw to bud and smiting firstborn, give me a pass and tell me when it's over. Ha! You know what? Oh, P.J. O'Rourke, here, as he talks about all of these things, basically, he uses humor to express a desire to avoid the hardships and the plagues described in the account of the Passover. By this humorous tone, God, as O'Rourke, is essentially asking for exemption from the trials and the tribulations endured by ancient Egyptians during a time of the Passover, and that it would be an ideal holiday because it commemorates the deliverance of the Israelites from the plagues and the hardships. I'll take a pass. I would too. I'm glad that we didn't have to take a pass from Calvary. God said, I'm coming to be your sacrifice. And if he hadn't have done it, we'd be in a fix today. But thank God, hallelujah, because Passover, as it commemorates every one of us, the Passover of redemption. And so when we look and realize that as all of the questions that people have about the trivia of Passover, amen, the retelling of the biblical story that takes place at a Seder, amen, I'm glad it's on the Exodus. When we look at the final day of Passover, that it celebrates what? The arrival to parting of the Red Sea was one of the things that would take place. And the retelling of Exodus is called what? Hey, the Maggid. And so, all people must observe what tradition on Passover is what? They eat matzah. And so, I've got some in there with chocolate on them. Amen. I'm making it a little more tasty. Say, well, they didn't say about putting no chocolate on it. Well, I know, but I got chocolate on mine anyway. Amen. You know, what was the first president and the only president that would have Passover Seder in the White House? I bet you'll never guess who it was. Barack Obama. That's right. Oh, my God. I know you wouldn't get that one. And so, the last Sabbath before Passover is called what? Shabbat Haggadah. And so, when we look at all of the trivia that could go into Passover, let's think of the Passover prayer that will open up. Are Jews that would be saying the top line, but you and I, that as we open up with a Jewish prayer, this is what we would say. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe. Amen. And so I'm glad here, as Jonathan Sacks says, the message of Passover remains as powerful as ever. Freedom is won not on the battlefield, but in the classroom and the home. Teach your children the history of freedom if you want them to never lose it. Now, I tell you, as Jonathan tries to make this wonderful quote, amen, that here he emphasizes the enduring significance of the Passover story of freedom, that while battles may secure freedom temporarily, and true and lasting freedom is cultivated through education and upbringing our kids in the classroom and in the home, that here Sacks urges parents and educators to teach their children the history of freedom. The lessons learned from the events like the Passover are the imparting knowledge of the struggles for freedom in the past. Children can gain an appreciation for the value and the importance of understanding what it means about having freedom. And here the role of education of instilling the responsibility and the commitment to freedom, praise God. And so as we go forward, here we get to the wonderful word of God, that as the Bible says, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And so tell the whole community of Israel, on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, for each household, as Moses tells all the Israelites on the 10th day of the month to select a lamb for their family to be used for the upcoming Passover. But he goes on and he tells us, and he says in verse 4, he says, and if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house taken according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating shall make you count for the lamb. He goes on in verse 5 and he says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Now, when we look at this, and we begin to realize that what the Lord is going to do, God instructs Moses to tell all the Israelites that on the 10th day of the month, each household select a lamb, amen. And I'm glad that here, when God provides guidance for all of us, as he does the smaller houses, that they combine together, we see then that the animals you choose must be year-old males without defect from the sheep or the goats. But he specifies that the lambs chosen for the Passover sacrifice must be a year old, amen. And so I thank God here without any physical whatsoever defects, amen, that these lambs can be taken from either the sheep or the goats, praise God. And so when we look at this and begin to realize, amen, that God has something special, because as they were instructed to take care of this particular lamb and get it ready for the killing, and all of them to eat it and to be able, as it was chosen on the 10th, that it might be tested and inspected for 4 days for any blemishes and defects or flaws before it was sacrificed. The lamb had to be without blemish and a male of the first year. The requirements that was pointed to Christ when he was the Lamb of God that was sacrificed for the sins of the entire world. What Isaiah, what John the Baptist said in Isaiah 53:6 and verse 7, that all we like sheep have gone astray, praise God, that he's telling us. And so I'm glad that when we come under the inspection, praise God, in the eyes, just as the Lord did when he went into the wilderness, amen, and began to go through all of the trials, amen, the inspection without blemish that Christ was, praise God. Here, I'm glad we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And he was oppressed, he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And I'm glad that, as John said, that the next day John seeth Jesus coming up, coming unto him, and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And as the lamb was tested for 4 days, so was our Lord tested. For 4 days he was tested in Jerusalem and asked questions before he was crucified. In Ezekiel 4:6, in Numbers chapter 11, verse 34, we find that a year can be equated to a day. Jesus' public ministry was just under 4 years in length before he was crucified. Jesus was singled out in 4 gospel records, yet without blemish or sin. And a sinful world needs a sinless Savior. The apostles that lived with him, knew him well, said that he was perfect and that he was sinless, praise God. And Peter said, but with the precious blood of Christ, as the Lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained, praise God, he said, before the foundation of the world. But it was manifest in these last times for you, who did no sin, neither was guilt found in his mouth. And so, I'm glad when you look, the enemies of Jesus claimed that he was perfect. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, behold, I bring him forth to you that you may know that I find no fault in him. Judas, the betrayer of Christ, professed his perfection. Jesus was the lamb without blemish, praise God. And so, I'm glad the Passover lamb was a male of the first year. He was not to be too old or too young, and the lamb was not a female, but a male. It was to be crucified in its full strength. Jesus died in the fullness of strength, not in his old age, not in his childhood, not in his boyhood, not in his youth, but in the fullness of his manhood. And the whole assembly slew a lamb for the Passover. It was the sin of the whole world that nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. And so, I'm glad when we look and we realize that the Jewish Passover lamb was killed in the early evening, around 3 PM, this was the time that the lambs were slain in the temple for the Passover. That happens to be near the time when Jesus died on the cross. And when the high priest cut the throat of the lamb, he would say that it is finished, praise God. Those were the same words of Christ on the cross. The price had been paid for our sins. It was instructed to note that the day of Christ's death is specified in the scripture, but not the day of his birth. Yet we celebrate his birth on the same day every year, while we celebrate his death on a host of different dates. How typical this is of human nature. What God makes certain, we make uncertain. But what God makes uncertain, we make certain. If a household was too little for a lamb, the two families could join together. They tried to have at least 10, if possible. We never find the lamb being too small for the house. Listen to me. The sacrifice of Christ is sufficient to atone and to save the whole world. Christ did not die for a select few, as Calvinism teaches. Hallelujah. Praise the mighty name of Jesus. If this was true, then God would be a respecter of persons, showing favoritism to a few, and God is not this way. And I'm telling you, God loves all and everyone, praise God. And that, I thank God, as the Bible says, but if you have respect to persons, you commit sin. And, listen, are convinced of the law as a transgressorist, as James tells us. And so, Peter said, if you call on the Father, who without respect to person judges according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. And so, I'm glad the book of Acts, Peter opened his mouth and he said, O truth, I perceive that God's no respecter of persons. And so, if Christ died for a select few, then technically your witnessing would go out the window. How could you tell a man that Jesus died for him or her if you did not listen? Oh, I'm going to tell you something. If you did not know that for sure, you could be lying to him or her. But I'm telling you something. I'm glad that Christ died for all. Amen. And I'm glad. Where is the love when God could save people, whether they liked it or not? That he doesn't save them. That's the point. For there's no love if it weren't true. But thank God it's not. Christ died for a select few and condemn the rest of mankind to hell? That's why God points us to himself in his creation, in our conscience, and if it was not his desire for all men to be saved, then why go all to the trouble? For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Listen, I'm going to tell you, as he tells us, praise God, so that they are without excuse. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible teaches, praise God, that he died for all, and not just for a few people, and not just for some, but for all, praise God. And so I'm glad. Hallelujah. I could go on about that. Boy, that's my pet peeve. But I thank God. He says in verse 7, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house, wherein they shall eat it. He goes on, he said, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, unleavened bread with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. He says, listen, eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof, praise God. And so I'm glad when we look and we begin to realize that what God is telling us about all of this here is he's trying to tell us in verse 9 of the haste that they were to leave Egypt, amen, to eat the meat, that it was to be roasted over fire with the head, the legs, the internal organs. And God specifies that the lamb should be roasted over fire, not eaten raw or boiled. It should be roasted whole with its head, legs, and internal organs intact. And this instruction underscores the importance of the Passover meal as a ritual sacrifice that he's telling us, praise God. And so, I'm glad the pertinence thereof that he said. So, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And so I'm glad that when we look at all of these things, amen, of what the Lord is wanting to do, of the urgency. The blood of the sacrifice was applied to the doorpost. And I'm glad we focus on this point in the greater detail, because what we see are the insights. The Jews demonstrated faith in God's word when they applied the blood to the door. Knowledge was not enough by knowing about Jesus. Jesus Christ will not save you. You must trust him by faith, obey his word, and believe upon him. Faith in God was visible to others as the blood was outwardly applied, not on the inside of the house, but on the outer doorpost of the homes of believing Jews and Gentiles, so everybody could see it. It was on your doorpost on the outside for the world to see, praise God. And as the Hebrews entered the door of their homes, their thoughts would be upon the blood. And as they left the next morning for the promised land, they would be greeted by the blood at the door, praise God. Hallelujah. And so it would be the reason for their deliverance. The abandoned, bloody homes would be a constant reminder to the Egyptians of their sin, their disobedience, and the only way of deliverance. They would be reminded of their lost opportunity, and the lamb was to be totally roasted with fire, eaten with unleavened bread and bitter herbs, praise God. It was an ordinary custom of the Jews to boil their flesh. Some think that the command given here was in opposition to the custom of the Egyptians, who ate raw flesh in honor of Osiris. The Ethiopians are to this day known for eating raw flesh. And so when we read verse 9, the pertinence thereof are the intestines, the heart, the kidneys, the lungs, and the liver were also roasted. That it said, and with the pertinence thereof, this lamb points to Christ, that the entire lamb that was roasted was God's provision for those on the inside of the house, and the blood on the outside secured their protection from God's judgment. How wonderful it is that the Lord supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And so the Hebrews needed food for their exodus from Egypt. Eating this lamb would signify the appropriation, making the lamb a part of your life. Not only the appropriation, but the fellowship with the Lord. That Jesus is our source of spiritual strength. He's God's spiritual provision. He is the bread of life. He's the living water for the journey that we face day by day, praise God. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And when the Hebrews roasted the Passover lamb, it was roasted whole, and no bones were to be broken. No bones were broken in the body of Christ when he was crucified. That in itself was a miracle. And so, the fulfillment of scriptures from the prophecy of Psalms 34, verse 20, he keepeth all his bones, and not one of them is broken. According to the Jewish Mishnah, when the Passover lamb was roasted, it was put on two wooden or pomegranate pits, placed at the right angles in the shape of a cross. What a picture of Calvary that is. Unleavened bread to be eaten at the meal, and the meal was to be prepared in haste, eaten in haste, bitter herbs. Praise God, everything from a get up and go. And so, I'm glad when we look, he tells us, and thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. In verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. Remember that. All the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. I thank God that he tells us, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Praise God. Here, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generation. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Praise God, I'm glad that when we look, what did he say of those that it says, and against all the gods of Egypt in verse 12. There was a lot of them. Oh, look at them. Look at all of the gods of Egypt. Boy, it took them all out. Praise God. It cleaned house of all the things that the Egyptians worshipped. Amen. in those days, and the urgency to get up and get out of there, praise God. And so I'm so glad that when we look and realize that the blood, he says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, praise God. Boy, I tell you, a lasting tradition reminding all of us that you need to dress for the departure. As verse 11, amen, deals with the people of departure, how that the journey through the wilderness of life, that first of all, they were to eat with their loins girded. I'm glad to be prepared to leave within a few hours. The robes were tucked in, ready for the movement, walking and running. I tell you, as a soldier for battle, hallelujah, with no weights and hindrances, we too are reminded to remove the hindrances from our lives and to be ready for service. And I'm glad that each and every one of us Christians, even on this Passover, hallelujah, that we are to do the same, praise God, as the Word of God. And as we get ready to move, the Jews were to have shoes on their feet. And I'm glad that by the Lord, because it was not customary at the mealtime, this custom continues today, that as they do not use tables and chairs as we do in America and in Europe, but have their floors covered with the carpets, they throw off their shoes when they enter their homes, lest they should soil those beautiful pieces of furniture. And the Israelites were to have their shoes on because they were about to commence their journey, and the shoes would affect their walk. God wants our walk to be right and challenges us to walk with him. I'm glad Paul said, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things, praise God. And so I'm glad when we look and realize that Christ, what he did for us, Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. And so we celebrate the redemption, at the Passover of redemption. Amen. Each and every one of us as we go through life. And I'm glad that when they walked through the wilderness, there was no swelling in their feet. Amen. So how you know that? Deuteronomy 8:4 tells us. You know what else Deuteronomy 8:4 told me? Their raiment waxed not upon them, neither did their foot swell 40 years. Can you imagine? Get on them clothes and wear them out for 40 years and wear your shoes and your feet will never even swell. That's what the Bible said. And so their shoes did not fall apart. Hallelujah. My mom said there were so many of them, of the 15 kids of the Yarbrough family, they had cut out some cardboard and put in the holes of the shoe because they had to make them last. They only get one pair a year. And so can you imagine how many shoes is in somebody's closet today? The Jews were also to have their staffs in their hands. That speaks to the pilgrim life. And I'm glad that we got our staffs in our hand. We're ready for the final trip home. Come on, Lord, we're ready. Hallelujah. We're pilgrims just passing through. The life of a pilgrim as we travel light. We ain't bogged down with no weight. We encounter some difficult things in life and terrain. But I'm glad the devil, one of the worst ones. But I'm glad that this ain't our permanent home, praise God. We're just a passing through. The wilderness life has times of quietness. It's got times of beauty. It's got times of meditation. Hallelujah. And I'm glad that I'm ready to travel at a moment's notice when the rapture of the Lord comes for the church, when we'll be removed within a blink of an eye. Hallelujah. It could happen tonight. It could happen today. It could happen tomorrow. Hallelujah. As he tells us, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet of sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, praise God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Praise God. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise God. Oh, man. Thank God. Grace and mercy was not shown at the expense of righteousness. And God's eye was not on the house. It was upon the blood. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And then it was not enough to shed the blood. It had to be applied at the doorpost. And right at the doorpost where they shed the blood of the lamb was the emphasis of it all, because everybody, when they begin to shed that blood at the doorpost, man, that, I'm glad, was the most significant thing, that as we do things like that, redemption brings forgiveness. Redemption, amen, it cleanses. Redemption, amen, it is a powerful thing, because every one of us, when you're redeemed, it is the blood, the power that's in the blood that redeems all of us. And they begin to take that blood and kill right at their doorpost, amen, was the most significant thing that the world, I tell you, out there today would be able to see that here, that it was that blood that was at that doorpost, praise God. All of the animals that you see up there, that they were taken out, praise God, because I'm glad. Why? Because when we look, the only defense against the judgment of death was the blood on the doorpost. Grace and mercy was not shown at the expense of righteousness. So the demand for holiness and the price for sin was met. And a substitute was provided. And the sentence of death was executed upon the innocent victim. The difference between the Egyptians and Israel was not a moral one. Both of them were sinners. The sole difference between them was the blood of a lamb, known as the Passover. The word Passover is from the verb Pasach, or noun Pasach, resembling the Egyptian word Pesh. And the word Pesh means to spread the wings over or to protect. The blood protected, and it covered God's people from the judgment and the death of the destroyer that passed over the houses where the blood were on the doorpost. Why? Death had already done its work. The price for sin was paid. Justice was satisfied as the innocent died for the guilty. And God's eye was not on the house, but it was upon the blood. And the house could be a palace strong. It could be elegant. It could be beautiful. The doorpost could be gold-plated and adorned with sapphires, emeralds, and diamonds. But I'm glad that, listen, no matter what, of all the things, boy, when that blood was on there, the house was a shack falling apart. It didn't matter. But when it had that blood on there, God's eye was not on that house. Boy, it was on the power and the position and the prestige of that blood that protected all with the wings of protection, the shedding of the blood that would be there for all, praise God. And so we see that the Passover lamb in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, the selection of that lamb, amen, that we see, hallelujah. And all of us, when we look and realize of that selection of the Passover lamb, that here, as the Israelites were instructed to select a spotless lamb for the Passover sacrifice, the spotless lamb that God was chosen to redeem humanity from sin, amen. The selection of the lamb and the application of the blood, amen, on the doorpost signified the protection and the deliverance through faith in Christ. We're covered by the atoning blood, securing our salvation for protection from the judgment of sin, amen. And so that blood that was on the lamb. And so I'm glad that Leonard Raven here said, redemption is a magnificent thing, the life of God in the soul of man. And so I'm glad that each and every one of us, I'm glad that redemption is a magnificent thing. And it emphasizes the significance of redemption in the Christian faith, because it's the act of being saved or rescued from sin, as Leonard Ravenhill put it, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the process of highlighting the immenseness of the beauty of what it means in the life of God, in the soul of man, that he was talking about, praise God. And so here we look, 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread, even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses, for whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that so shall be cut off from Israel. He goes on, and in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and the seventh day there shall be holy convocation to you. No matter of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast, unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought you your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. Amen. And so through this, that they're given the celebration every year, amen. Because I'm telling you, after the destruction of the temple, Jews face choices: accept Jesus as the Passover lamb, or stop observing Passover, or alter it without God's authorization. They chose the latter option. Some elements of the Passover meal symbolize Jesus Christ by the Jewish Christians. But instead of a lamb, they use a lamb shank bone, an egg symbolizing endurance and fertility, bitter herbs replaced by horseradish, and a mixture called chashroseth, representing the mortar used in building. And they also used 4 cups of wine mixed with water, symbolizing the blood of the lamb, removing all the leaven from their homes, symbolizing repentance, breaking the cycle of sin, and starting fresh. Leaven symbolized sin. Leaven did. Influence, just as pride puffs up people. Christians understand that through Christ's sacrifice, we are secure, but sin still affects our fellowship with God and others. But finally, the unleavened bread, or the matzah, signifies Jesus Christ, the sinless bread of life. And I'm glad that during that meal, the meaning, such as its division, represents the Trinity, the stripes, the punctures, representing Christ is suffering, and the hidden broken wafer symbolizing Christ is death and resurrection. And that fourth cup anticipates Christ's return, and it symbolizes the offer, the rich imagery, and the reflection during the Passover meal to all of those, praise God. And so, here, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leaven, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Amen. Ye shall eat nothing leaven in all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. And I'm glad that here, when we look and realize that through this, each one of these that we've got, that he's telling us, amen, how the importance is of us being able, the elements of the feast that point or speak of Jesus Christ that influences us, the Seder of service, as it's called, of the elements, that first there's no lamb or priesthood, instead the shank bone of the lamb that's used, as we said earlier, the egg that's used to become the hard and strong by cooking it, not soft, and the suffering of the Jews that strengthened them, and the egg that pictures the fruitfulness that's dipped in the salt water, which is a reminder of their tears and the crossing of the Red Sea, in the place of the bitter herbs of the horseradish, a mixture that they use, praise God. And so we see with this reading, the Passover feast, that it talks to us about as the Passover redemption, amen. I'm glad that we look and see that that unleavened bread of that during the Passover feast, symbolizing the purity and the haste that the Israelites had to leave Egypt quickly, as believers were called to remove the leaven of sin from our lives and walk in righteousness. But I'm glad a memorial of deliverance, because the Passover feast served as a perpetual memorial of God's deliverance. And likewise, the Lord's Supper reminds us of Christ's sacrifice and the freedom that we've received through his blood, puring us to the gratitude and the devotion, as when we take our time at the Lord's Supper, we reflect on the cross of Calvary, of what he did for us on that cross, when we saw and take of the broken body of the bread that represents him, and we drink the cup that represents his blood that flowed freely from the cross of Calvary for all of our sins, amen. I'm glad Mahatma Gandhi said no human being is so bad as to be beyond redemption. And I'm glad, thank God. But I'm glad here when we look and go on, he says in verses 21 to 24, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop. Notice the flowers of hyssop there that represents the means of transferring the blood of the sacrifice to the center. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Boy, if that ain't powerful. Boy, praise God. Hallelujah. And so, and ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. Here he goes on, he says, and it shall come to pass when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service, he says. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt. And when he smote the Egyptians and delivered the houses, and the people bowed the head and worshiped. He goes on, he says, and the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they, praise God. I'm glad. Here was the Passover promise that he tells us about, praise God. And I'm glad that from the Passover of redemption, amen, here one of the things that we see, the obedience and the protection, that following God's instructions resulted in their protection and their deliverance. As we obey God's word, as men and women of God, and trust in his promises, we are faithfully guided and shielded on our journey, praise God. Not only when we look and we realize that from all of this, that we look and we see the Passover lamb, the Passover feast, but the Passover promise, the obedience and the protection. But next we see passing on of a legacy, praise God, because the command to observe the Passover was passed down from generation to generation, ensuring that the story of God's faithfulness would be remembered and celebrated. And as believers, we're called to pass on the legacy of faith to the future generations, to proclaim the message of redemption and salvation. Amen. Thank God. You know what? As we get ready to depart from every one of us, from this message of the Passover of redemption, I'm glad that it gives us hope that we may continue to rejoice in the victory won for us through Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that his love and his grace will shine brightly in our lives for all of the world to see. When you look at this picture, you see the trail leading out of Egypt. Boy, they're on their way in the night passage of leaving out of bondage. But I'm glad in Genesis 46, verses 3 and 4, that Passover promise goes way back. That says, and he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. Listen to verse 4. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. Boy, I'm glad that we can put our trust in the Lord, because he is the one. As I get ready to close out, I want to say that I started with a Jewish prayer. I want to close out with a Jewish prayer. And if you would pray with me, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This would be the way that the Jews would close their prayers. Yeshai Adonai, Apein. Well, I don't speak Hebrew. But I mean no disrespect. Redemption is not perfection. The redeemed must realize their imperfections, as John Piper. And so I hope and pray that as we close out and conclude our time, may the blessings of the Almighty rest upon you, the Passover of redemption that each and every one of us can always have. We can always go back and we can remember what the Lord has done for each and every one of us through the generations and the generations to come. The Passover of redemption. It's all about Yahshua here in the book of Exodus. May God bless you.